You're here because you want more. More engagement. More delight. More fun. More learning. You're hungry for change and willing to take action.
If you're not prepared to be wrong, you'll never come up with anything original.
Welcome to the e-learning scenario design podcast with Anna Sabramowitz.
I'm going
to
show you how great I am.
Let's take learning to the next level.
Hey everybody, Anna Sabramowitz here, and today's episode is going to be about two things. One, the framework that I use and the perspective I have on where interactive storytelling fits in the world of learning. And then two, I'm going to extend an invitation for you to work with me in 2020. So first off, it's kind of funny, I ran a live today, which I'm not going to post for you to listen to because you've probably had enough of those. And I find the ones that I shoot, the podcasts that I do specifically for you to listen to, are, like I said, more my reflections and kind of a one-on-one conversation. The other ones are kind of like one-to-many, you know, even though I intend them to be very personal. So one of the live I ran today was a result of a little bit of a rant. I wanted to be a little bit provocative, be helpful, but also just be ranty. And the rant was about the fact that I got sent an email from this learning technology center, which shall remain unnamed to protect the innocent. Although I'm actually not protecting the innocent by not revealing who they are so they could fix their God darn practices. Anyways, he sent a link to resources for adult learners, their professional development at this organization. It was a university. Okay. And so I consider, you know, I use Rise to develop stuff because it's so simple and easy. Like, really, if you're going to put anything up online, use Rise. It's so easy. Although, if you're just going to put up something to read, you don't need to split it up in Rise. You just put it on a website and people can read it and then they can make it bigger and smaller and you don't need to chunk it out into little pages. You only do that if you're like engaging people throughout, right? But if you don't know what Rise is, it's basically like if you know how to use Word, it just separates things into pages and subchapters and makes and gives you an opportunity to take existing content and actually that's very content heavy and actually integrate components that allow the person to participate by answering questions, making connections, and also just mostly ways to integrate interesting ways to ask questions about the content so people aren't just straight up reading. You know that they're understanding it as they go along. But really, in the long, like, if I looked at it from, like, you know, my godson's perspective, it'd be like a long page with breaks that allow you to move on as you complete the content. That's all it is. And it's cool because it works well on mobile and it's, you know, but it is a content heavy medium. The problem with the stuff that I was sent is that not only did they just do absolutely 100% content and used none of the interactive opportunities to ask questions, but I think they even made the text smaller so they could fit more on a page. It was so goddamn dense. It was like blocks. It was like a research paper, and I didn't even read any of it. I read some chunks which were just, you know, broken out, but it was horrible, right? And I thought, these are people who are teaching, setting the standard. Like, people are going to look at this, like profs who are moving to online learning, and they're going to look at this and be like, this is online learning. This is e-learning. This is a module. And I'm just going to poke my eyes out because that sets a precedent. Now, these are the same people who are running those instructional systems designs programs. And it makes me ashamed because they're doing it so old school and so inconsiderate of the single person who's sitting there on the other side with a plethora of knowledge, their own beliefs, their own imagination, their own experience, and you're just ignoring that and vomiting, basically, you're vomiting content on them and you're okay with it. And you're patting yourself on the back for putting it out. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. So I'm ashamed, you know? So that's the kind of stuff that goes out to humans. Like, they didn't even consider the fact that bullets help people read better, that shorter paragraphs are easier to digest and scan. Like, it's just ugly, condensed text. And like I said, they made it even smaller. So I talked about this, and it's funny because I have people who follow me quite regularly, and they've been fans or colleagues for a long time. And one of my friends, I consider him a friend now because we've had a chance to talk, and he's a really cool dude. But he posted a link by Arun Pradhan about great questions. And underneath one of my videos. And I was like, okay, well, I'll check it out. And Arun, he does great work. I've been involved in his work as far as just following him for a couple of years now. But I looked at his questions, which my friend posted too. And I was like, okay, let's look at these questions. Because my tip was... I didn't even get to my tip yet, you guys. Sorry, I'm all scatterbrained. My tip was that even if you do nothing else to engage people in content, what you can do is include questions. Before you introduce the content, ask people to answer some questions. It's better if they don't answer it just in their mind. It's better if you actually have them commit to something, like, what would you do in the situation? So a simple multiple choice question will make them commit to something. And they'll read the rest to find out if they were right. And your questions have to be provocative. They don't have to be like, what's the XYZ? And then it's always very factual or minutia. It can be big picture stuff that is the ethos, basically, of your content. And I'm like, this is a simple way to really engage people, where you're actually thinking about engaging their minds first, having them reflect on their past experience first and their assumptions, and then you can move over to the content. And so, therefore, logically, somebody posted the questions from Arun. And this is where me and Arun disagree. He said, questions to ask geeks and experts. What models would be useful? What do you do differently that novices don't? And I'm like, man, no. Experts don't know that stuff. Like, unless you've got some sort of self-reflective trainer, which takes time to develop, to actually be able to be cognizant of your own schemas, of your own models, of your own expertise, you can take any expert in the world that's not involved in learning and then ask them to explain something simply. Good luck with that. I've been working on trying to do that with interactive storytelling for the past probably 7 years. So for you to just approach somebody and be like, what's the model that you found most useful? And I'm like, there is no such thing for somebody who's an expert or a geek. It's not possible. They will not be able to tell you anything useful. They might be able to give you some insights, but the best insights are going to come from people who have just recently struggled with this. And especially if you're trying to design learning for people who are not other experts, then the questions are useless and they don't work. And we should stop using them, and we should stop thinking that experts actually have the answers, because they don't. They can give us guidance and reflection after we've gathered something, and also kind of be the North Star as to where we want people to be, but it's not authentic in any way. So those questions for me were kind of like a waste, because we actually perpetuate this myth that true experts and geeks can actually give us valuable information for learning. And that's why most of the learning you see out there is still a giant content dump of crappy stuff that nobody cares about, nobody wants to read, and nobody understands. because it's technobabble. It's written by experts for experts. Total uselessness. S. Let me tell you how I really feel. Okay. So that's why I think the work that I do and the work that maybe my students do is outside of traditional instructional design. Here's why. It doesn't consider emotions, and emotions are huge for behavior change and any kind of learning and integration to take place. Zero consideration. We talk about it, but people think emotions have to do with, like, you know, making somebody happy and making them, delighting them. That's user experience. That has nothing to do with emotions, like feeling things about, you know, motivation, about really striving for something, about feeling like you confident that you can go for something, or feeling terrible. Those are emotions, not, ooh, that was interesting. That's just novelty. Where's a fast? I'm talking about deeper stuff. So instructional design, poo-poo on that. Even psychology, barely. It's just cognitive, like even cognitive bias, like all those things, like heuristics, the availability heuristic, all those things. I didn't hear about all these psychological concepts and schemas, all this. I didn't learn about any of them in instructional books. No, we talked about, like, I think the most useful thing I ever learned in instructional design is the Kolb's learning model. That's it. And then even then, we didn't even get into psychology. We got into, like, simple phrases, which actually Kolb's learning model is actually really cool for that, because it simplifies all that difficult stuff that happens in the brain when somebody is learning something new. But, and I suggest you check it out because it is pretty cool. But that's it, you know. I think they're actually, Kolb's is, yeah, probably one of the best models I've ever seen for learning. So then we considered emotions and storytelling, which is nowhere in instructional design. Scenarios, barely. It's like an outlier. Asking good questions, even writing provocative questions, total outlier. Right? It's like a specialty. Most people do this for a living, but they suck at it. Me included, when I first started. Terrible. And this is one of the most amazing ways to engage people, is through powerful questions. The amount of resources, the limited amount of resources available on this is shameful. So if you look at, like, assessment design, all those things, maybe there's 10 books. It's kind of crazy. Anyways, so there are people who are starting to pick this up. I think Patty Shank is one of them, and refining her expertise in this area. Some of the best resources on this, as far as academic stuff that actually helped me, would probably be Educative Assessments by Wolvard and Anderson. Solid. Just makes you think about assessments and questions in a different way. However, you got to think about your audience, scope, time. Who are they? You know, what kind of time they have? The things and the purpose. So what was wonderful about some of those assessment things that, you know, we were talking about in the Educative Assessments and Grading book by Wolvard, is the purpose and the representation of skill, right? And so that's cool when you have content that supports skill development. And a lot of organizations already do. And a lot of organizations can already tap into things that are already baked and made, right? Lynda.com, you need a skill, you need to upskill somebody, boom, right there. Like, there's no need to build anything from scratch. The only time you need to build something from scratch is potentially if you have custom software in your organization. So there's that. This is the other thing. Instructional design assumes that everybody is ready, like an amazing open book, be a sponge to learn. They see the value, they're motivated, and then they're like, here's all the info. You're gonna love this. And that is not true. The truth is, you know the truth. It's not that people are lazy, stupid, demotivated. That's not it, actually. It's nothing to do with that. It has to do with how you're presenting this particular piece of info to them. And it's funny because I was listening to this audiobook by Zig Ziglar. And Zig Ziglar had this story. And the story is like, you know, how you wake up, you've had a bad day, and you spill coffee on your clean pants for that in the morning, and they're your business pants, and they're just been freshly pressed, and then you have a big presentation that morning. You're late to the presentation, and it doesn't go as well. You have to do some revisions. The afternoon is spent, you know, on some terrible project. You come home, you are exhausted, you had the worst day ever, and then your wife tells you, "Oh, honey, did you forget?" And he's like, "What? What did I forget?" And she goes, "Today's the day we're cleaning out the garage." Or the garage. Or garage, as they say in New Zealand, I think. Garage. And one of my coaches is from New Zealand, so I just love the way they say it. Anyways, so he's exhausted, and then he comes home, and she's like, "You know, today's the day you promised you'd help me." And he's like, "Honey, but you don't know the kind of day I've had. It's been so bad." So he tells her the whole story. While he's telling her that story, the phone rings, and his buddy goes, "Guess what I've got lined up for us in 30 minutes. 18 holes with a buggy and 2 cold beers ready to go." And he goes, "I'll be there in 20. So excited. So it's about, and you're like, what does that have to do with? No, listen. So what's happening there is, if the context is right, if we're tapping into the thing that you really most want to do, you will find the energy even after a long, long, long day. But you frame it right, you want it's something you end up wanting to do, you will find the time. Just like I'll have moments where I'll be like, "My gosh, this project is going." I'll stay up late, like late to get it done because I'm so motivated and because I know I'm in the flow, I'm in the zone, right? And you want to get your people there. You're not going to get them there all the time, but there are strategies you can use to get people more to that end of the spectrum than less, right? But one of the things we don't consider is that we actually have to take the effort to get them there, because they're not doing that themselves because they got other stuff going on, right? They got tons of other things that are so distracting, so painful, so stuff going on at home. They're humans, right? And so just considering that, that's missing from instructional design as well. They talk about motivation. We talk about motivation. We pander to motivation, but we don't actually think about how does motivation happen. And motivation happens through emotion. And emotion happens through story. And that is why I think storytelling is going to be the next big thing in 2020. That's why I want you to join me. So what's happening is, in 2020, January 13th, we are launching a brand new program. Basically, it's going to be called the Interactive Storytelling Accelerator Program, which is every week I jump on a live call with you, which they're going to be recorded, and you're going to get access to me. We're going to review your scripts. We're going to review your stories. We're going to review your, like even how you're talking to the subject matter experts and the practitioners. And so I'm going to support you with every week on a live call. I'm going to support you with your projects, right? You get to ask questions. We basically work together live in a group setting, right? Then so that's on Wednesdays. Every Friday, Ryan, who is, I don't know if you guys know, but he developed Broken Coworker with me. He's also an Articulate guru. He is amazing at not only user interfaces, usability, but also just a maven at organizing things to make them frameworks and templates for you so that, and for himself, actually, he's just sharing his stuff, to make it easy for him to basically create a product that he can deploy whenever a client asks us for something. So he has a ready-made template that will work, that's functional, and there's a whole bunch of ninja stuff on the back end that he can show you. Although one of the things that I think that both of us are learning is that our clients are in very, very different stages. So we want to build up the repository to support you for where you are, where you're at in your career, right? Some people are just wanting to make their current videos interactive. Guess what? That's what we're going to talk about too. So it's going to be awesome. So all of that is supported by our masterclass, which is basically to get you from soup to nuts from developing your first very own scenario by talking to not only the sponsors, but pitching that to, let's say, a sponsor, and then getting that all the way through to a working prototype. So that's going to be pretty sweet. And I'm organizing all of my resources right now from my one-on-one coaching sessions, so you'll get access to that at a sick discount right now, because we just want to get as many people who are almost, let's say, self-funded in there as possible, because those people are the ones I think who are the most invested. So that's on. Then the other thing, which is going to be also super awesome, is that we have, there's like 6 or 7 flagship activities that we thought, these are solid, and these are models that we've used. These are models we've used to pitch clients' work and actually have done the work. And we love them. They're classic. They have good frameworks. So basically what Ryan will do is go under the hood. I will go through them because we've deconstructed each and every one of them. I will go through them. He will go through them from a technical side. I will go through them from the instructional side, the storytelling and the scenario design side, to show you what, you know, the logic is beside each of the decisions and the kind of tools they're using to achieve a certain kind of result. So that'll be, we're calling that Engagement U, and you get access to that as well on January 13th. And then a whole bunch of, you know, templates, work resources to just support you straight up into launching this, because this isn't easy. This isn't intuitive for people, but we've created a framework that just, you got to go, you know, plug and play. You put in the work, you're going to get what you want. And that is hopefully something like a broken coworker or a lifesaver or a Haji Kamal, where basically you're creating a story that isn't there to teach people explicitly certain skills. It's there to awaken them to the possibility that they can do a lot of things, or there's other possibilities, and that you can help and then drive them to some useful content. So it's going to be, guess what? At this point, this is what's amazing, okay? You get access for a lifetime for the price that's set on the website right now, which is amazing. And it's going to go up. I guarantee it, because people have already told me they thought it was only for like 2 months access. And I was like, oh no, this is for life. And they're like, what? I'm like, yep. So also, one of the bonuses is if you join right now, what I'm doing is I want to know who my founding members are, because guess what? I get to customize this program for you, make it as awesome as possible for you. So what happens is when you sign up today, what happens is you get an intake call with me. So we jump on a call together. I find out what your goals are, where you're at. And what this also allows me to do is to customize those sessions and resources that we're going to be continue adding into this membership area. So if you've ever wanted to see what it's like to develop the broken coworker model, develop your own interactive scenario, if you've ever wanted to talk to other people who are also designing storytelling and are engaging people in a different way, if you've ever wanted to work with me, if you've ever wanted to work with Ryan and see under the hood of what some of these projects look like and get his advice and even to have him review your projects so that you could, he could tweak it based on his experience and get some advice from a professional designer. This is it, man. Where else can you get this kind of coaching and community? Nowhere else. And I'm telling you, it's going to be super cool. So, I hope you join, because I want 2020 to be like boom, off the chains as far as storytelling, interactive story scenarios, and even just to be in that community of people that are on the same path. I think that's super cool, because one of the things that I struggled with when I was first starting is the fact that you are most times, unless you're a department of one, that's really hard because you're trying to get feedback from people who have no clue what you do, or you're just in a place that is afraid to experiment. And every time you bring something up, it's like eyes rolling. And I've been there. It's so frustrating because you're like, it takes so much to just build yourself up to try something new. And then to then also have to face the fact that other people are afraid and actually actively working against you, that is so painful. So that's why when you join, you also join a community where you can ask questions, you can buddy up with people. One of the things that I found is some of the people that are working with us that are already in the group are creatives, and they want to basically do all the upfront work of sourcing the experts, finding the perfect scenarios, crafting that script, and then they want to hand off their work to somebody else who understands the storytelling framework and model and is able to produce it very quickly and add the pieces that just put on the extra, you know, awesome sauce, right? So I already see those kinds of relationships forming in that group, and it's going to be awesome. So I hope you found this helpful. I hope you join me in 2020. I will put the link to the offer in the description because it'll be going away very, very soon. Okay? So I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day. Don't mind my rant. It's meant with good intentions. Take care. Bye.
This is the e-learning scenario design podcast with Anna Subramowitz.